All right, I am here with Master Gadgeteer, Pete Brown. Pete, good to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And you brought some gadgeteering with you.
I did.
This is from one of my favorite shows, Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of the show, and if you're not, you should be, there's a wall where they've had to string up Christmas lights to be able to communicate with someone in another region. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, we don't want to give away too many of the plot devices on there, but I think it's pretty safe to say just basically everybody has seen the wall somewhere on the internet there.
Yeah.
But it's, you can communicate with a place called the Upside Down, mm-hmm. which is where Will, who is Winona Ryder's son in the show, is trapped. And it's kind of a cool place. They never quite explain how they communicate via like Christmas lights and stuff. Like, do they touch him? Is he walking up the wall? I don't know.
He's using Arduino or something.
Yeah. But like in the show, like they first start off with this binary communication where she's got like this pile of lights and she's like, Will, are you there? You know, blink once for yes, twice for no
or
something.
Yeah, it's a yes or no. It's
And then she decides to go kind of like all magic eight ball and like build a big thing on the wall that she can ask questions like, you know, will I ever find love? And it comes back and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I had to build this.
Yeah.
It seemed like a natural choice for bot stuff and natural language understanding, so it just seemed like a perfect fit for that.
Yeah.
And of course we got the wall here, which we'll get to in a little bit because I'm tired of shipping this all over the country. So I think I'm going to donate this to Channel 9 here.
Awesome.
If you've ever seen the back of it, they don't take too well to this in Carry On, so I've definitely had to FedEx this everywhere.
Yeah, I see you have a period specific wallpaper.
I do, and it's kind of funny because the hardest thing about building this wall was trying to find suitably ugly wallpaper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you go and you search for ugly wallpaper, nobody wants to sell you something and label it ugly wallpaper.
Yeah.
So you have to like try all kinds of bizarre things. Eventually, I found something that's not quite the same, but ugly enough to work.
You did a good job.
Thank you. I think I'm going to do the rest of my house in this now. Maybe string up Christmas lights around that.
Nice.
So for folks who haven't seen the show, like I said, definitely, you know, you could pause the video. This will be here forever. Go watch it because it is, if you're a fan of the 80s like I am, it is such an enjoyable show to watch.
It is.
But enough of that, right? Yeah. So this should be about tech, right?
Yeah.
So I mentioned that, you know, natural language processing and understanding that is kind of like a natural, to use the word natural as many times as possible in the same sentence, a natural part of this. So I built a bot using the bot framework.
And that's the interesting thing, because I've seen before where people have built a wall like this, and you could send messages to it, and that's interesting in itself. But the whole thing behind the show was that she was speaking to it, and it was communicating back. And so that's the part that you've implicated in here. You've got it to where you can actually ask it questions.
Right.
And is that using the board that's on the back of this, or are you doing that through Windows?
So there are a couple of different pieces to this, right? So we have the bot framework with Lewis in the cloud, which we'll talk about. And then I wanted to be able to talk to it, like you said.
Yeah.
And if you have like just an Arduino, you might be able to do some sort of speech recognition with that, but it's not really what that's really good at, right? I also looked at doing stuff with some of the higher-end IoT boards we have. There's the new Intel, what's it, 570X or whatever that Joule board that's out there. That could certainly handle this, but I wanted to do this from my PC.
Yeah.
So what I used is something called Windows Remote Wiring. It's also known as Windows Remote Arduino, which uses one of my favorite protocols, MIDI, to actually talk back and forth between the Arduino and the PC and remote all the I/O over. And that lets me use all the power on the PC here to do things like, you know, really good voice recognition, to do integration with, you know, I had a synthesizer on stage with a sequencer that started all this stuff, to do integration with that, to do, you know, a UI that I can touch and all those types of things, which you couldn't really do on a microcontroller baseboard just alone.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's, let's take a look at the bot, I think might be a good place to start here real quick. So I have up here Skype. Right, and I have the bot Surface in Skype, and it's just there as the Upside Down. Hopefully everybody can see that. And she asks him questions in the show like, you know, Will, are you there? Right? And it's going to come back here, and there we go. It says yes. Yes, Will is there. And this is coming back from the bot framework using Lewis to understand what I'm saying. So I could say, what's it like there? And we'll see. I haven't trained the Lewis stuff really well, so we'll see how it goes. Good. It says cold and dark. Okay. Now, we're not trying to pretend that this is a person. These are all canned answers that I have up there. And the way this works is if I go into Lewis, if I go back up here, I have all of these Lewis intents. And these, each of these intents is like, think of it like a meta question, where this is the category of question that's going to map to a single answer that I have there. But there are lots of different ways that you can ask that question. So if I go into, say, like suggest here, let's see if suggest pops up stuff. And it could be really slow. I suggest we get faster internet here in the studio. Here we go. Okay. So there are lots of different questions that come up from kind of like natural use of the bot, and I can map these to individual intents. If somebody says, what's the weather like there? I can, you know, it's automatically mapped here to check environment because it figured that was the most likely one. Mm-hmm. If somebody says hi, I don't handle hi anywhere in the code. It just sort of says, well, maybe that's check safety, but you see it's only got 7% likelihood of that. It really has no idea. So yeah. I might add another intent that that is going to map to a different answer back in the bot or something like that. And you could train this over time. And it's natural language processing building up a neural network. So you really want hundreds or thousands of questions to be able to do this. Now, if I go back over to the, let's see here. Actually, I don't have that up. That's right, I'll go into source code here. If I go over to my bot, go over to message controller, here we go. The bot, I use a regular bot framework bot for this, and it comes with a default controller that doesn't do natural language processing, and then to add in natural language processing, all I do is this part here on line 27 where I send it an instance of a dialogue that I've created. And that dialogue is a one I've called upside down dialogue, which is a Lewis dialogue here. And a Lewis dialogue has some really nice markup where I can say, here's the intent. And I'm not doing any additional state management. It's a very, very simple bot here. Yeah. So all I'm saying is if you say check creator, like you say who made you, right? Yeah. I have an ego thing in there, so it comes back and it says, Pete, check presence, which is, are you there? Can you hear me? All those types of questions.
Yeah.
It comes back with will, et cetera. And then for Monty Python fans in there, if you ask it the favorite color, it comes back with blue, no green. Right, so there we go.
Very nice.
Okay, so that's the bot side, which this was my first time ever building any kind of bot stuff, so I learned a lot as doing this. It was super simple. I deployed the bot to Azure. I used the bot framework. There's a great developer console there that lets me surface that and point it over to Azure. I wired it up to Lewis through the code here and some special keys that I have. And then I made it available on Skype and made it available on this direct line, which is what we're going to use in the application.
Awesome.
Okay. So let's look at, I think, the next part here. So that's all the kind of server-side stuff. And I think that's what differentiates this, like you were saying, from like just simply sending a message over and having it pop up, which is okay, but that's not
interactive.
It's not really doing it for me, right? So if I go over, why don't we run the application? People probably just want to see the thing light up. Don't close your browser after you see it. There's more information after this. So let me run this project. Okay, and this is just a UWP app. There we go. All right, and it's got ridiculously huge fonts because I use it in a keynote and stuff, and I want to make sure people can see it. I have a couple of test things. Okay. As you can imagine, being in a keynote, you don't know if your internet access is going to work, right?
Yeah.
So I have a simple thing here where I can dictate something and it'll just spell it out on there. Or I can use a natural language processing and I can ask it a question. So I don't think this is going to work with just me, so I think maybe we need to get into character for this, right?
I would definitely say you need to.
Do you want to wear this?
No, I think it's all you. The beard really is what makes it.
I imagine Winona Ryder with a big beard. I don't think that's going to work.
I'm imagining it now.
Somebody told me, and I'm going to do this because we're recording, but somebody told me that this is Alex Kipman in 20 years, right?
So. Oh, wow, yeah.
So, hair, okay. All you people who wear wigs on a regular basis, you have all the kudos in the world because I don't even know how you find the front of this thing half the time.
You have been flicking it quite a bit.
yeah. Do this. All right, so I can say I performed in drag on the show here. This will work out. So let me go ahead and use the built-in. This is Windows 10 speech recognition. This isn't going to the cloud. I can say, Will, are you there? And you see it came right out. And then when I send this over, it's going to come back. Ooh, we have the lights. And it should come back. S is down there at the bottom, but we'll, did it light? Cool.
Yeah, we saw
it. All right, awesome, thank you. So I have a couple of lights that are on their way out here because I can't be serious, I'm talking to you. I have a couple of, it's funny, the control room is just laughing over there. So there are a couple of lights that don't quite work on here. They've blown out. This has been around the country a few times. But what I did here, so first when I pressed the button, it kicked in Windows, you know, UWP speech recognition.
Yeah.
Very, very simple, using the default language. I hooked up some events which will spell out, you know, what it thinks it hears right in that text box. And then once that was done, I just came over and hit the little button to submit it over. You could, of course, wait for a period of silence for a second or something and send it automatically. I didn't want to do that here, right? Now, in the talks that I gave, I had the MIDI synthesizer with me. It was an Electron Analog 4 that I programmed the music in, and then it would play the music while that was going over. So you had the bum 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 bum, right? So that was really good. Okay, I think let's take a quick look at some code before we answer a couple other questions here. So if I go over to my code behind. And all my code is in the code behind for this. So sorry, folks, but I think it makes it super easy to understand if it's all in the code behind. Now, there's the first thing I do in the code is I set up a connection to the Arduino, which is actually hot glued to the back of this, right? Yeah. I decided to sacrifice an Arduino to it and be done. And this is using the Windows remote wiring stuff. So you see we set pin mode for the different pins. We enable them. I set some for output, et cetera, et cetera. And then I call this clear board function, which just sends out a bunch of blank for everything. Now, on the back of this board attached to the Arduino is a pair of two MBI 5026, 5086, something like that, LED controllers, and they made it really simple. I just send it a bit for each letter that I want to turn on, and it acts like a big shift register, right? So it's 32 bits because it's both chips together there. And I have this map right down here, which says for the letter A, here's the, you know, here's the letter, here's the value that we're going to send over to the shift register all the way down to letter Z. I could have just done this through math if I wanted to, but one, I hate math, and two, I wanted to be able to rearrange things if necessary, so I kept a table to do this.
Why math it up if you don't have to?
That's exactly right. You know, we have plenty of memory over here. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Now, the way that I send this over is I bit bang these shift register calls from the PC over the USB to the Arduino, right? So it's a little bit slower than, it's a lot slower than if you did it directly on the Arduino, but I can do it all from the code here. And the shift register doesn't care. As long as I raise the clock at the right point in time, send that bit at the right point in time, clock, bit, whatever, I'm doing a little dance here. As long as I send those over in the right order, at the right time, it doesn't matter how fast or how slow they are. It's just really about the order. And so I send those through, right? And then the way that I render the text is I basically convert everything to capital letters. I get the value of the letter, subtract the value of space or A or whatever it was. That gives me the index into the array, and that's what I use to send that over there. Now, when you press a button, scroll down here for a second. Oh, and I have some test buttons, of course, here. Like you saw this at the beginning. Before we rolled, I just wanted to run through and see which letters aren't lighting for me today.
Yeah, which broke in transit.
Yeah, which one broke here. Yes, because this has been shipped in FedEx. And actually, the only thing that has really broken so far is like the corner over there. So I've been pretty impressed with that. But I have some things here to just test it really quick to send those letters over. The speech recognizer code, I used two different speech recognizers, one for each text box, because I was lazy about it and wanted to make sure that I didn't have to think about which event was coming back, which place it went to. You could use a single speech recognizer for each one if you wanted.
Okay.
And then, oh, here we go. That's echo. Let's go down to, there's the question speech recognizer state changed event. This is where when you are start talking, And it's recognizing, I change the background color of the text box, and then when I get the individual responses back, I just give it that guess at that point in time. So it looks kind of like Cortana, you're dictating to Cortana on the phone, it's doing that, so you get the same type of effect. But the code itself, there's almost no code at all to do that. Then to do the bot interface, one last piece here before we wrap up. To do the bot interface itself, I have a method here to connect, and thanks to my friend Shen, who's on the same team as me here, who had already done a Hunt the Wumpus app that talked to a bot. So he already had the code there, and I basically just pasted it shamelessly right into mine. So I connect to the bot, I create a new conversation, this is all going over HTTP, and then when I get a response back, I know that for my bot, I'm only ever going to get one response back for any given call, so I've got it hard-coded there to just display that one response. Mm-hmm. Very, very simple stuff. This will all be up on GitHub as soon as I clean out my keys and everything. It's one of those things where I've got keys there and I could store them in the registry or something, but I just have them. I think you'll see up here, secret section. I've used regions here to deal with that. All right, so let's, do you want to ask it a question?
Yes.
All right. We haven't actually practiced this, so we're going to see how well this does.
Okay.
For real, we haven't practiced this.
No. I'm not going to tell you.
Are you going to wear the wig? Are you going to wear the wig? You got to wear the wig if you're going to ask a question.
Wow.
Come on, Larry.
Okay. I don't know if I can even get this.
It doesn't matter if you get front or back. It all looks the same.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah. Is Barb dead?
Doesn't like you so far. Come back over here. Come over here for a second. Can you reach? Sorry. You ready?
Is Barb dead?
I think you're going to get back an eh on that because it's not one of the questions that I have in there.
Good. Let me we'll see send how you that. Handle things you don't understand.
Let's see what it comes back. It says, well, all right. So, you know what's really funny is because the W doesn't work, it came back as ill. Right, which could actually work for that. She was looking pretty ill at the end of that.
She's ill with the slug. She got a case of the slugs.
So there's of course one other question that you have to ask, right? And say, what should I do now? And we're see. And of course the answer is run.
Run. Run to your nearest dealer and get some LED bulbs and make your own board.
It's funny, I sacrificed two sets of Christmas lights for this. Yeah. And because I built it in September, of course, Christmas lights were readily available everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So I'll have the source code for this up on GitHub.
Okay.
I have already a three-post series up on the Windows Developer blog that explains pretty much everything about how this was made, how I built the wall. It has some beauty shots of frankly, some scary wiring on the back of the wall.
Yeah.
Lots of hot glue and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, that's already up there, so definitely something to take a look at.
Very nice. Well, thanks for showing us this today.
Cool. Thanks, Larry.